Alrighty.
Let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. This is the starting with the chapter 40 in the book of Isaiah, and it goes through 66. And this right here is the New Testament. It's all in verse 40, 41. And then through the rest of the book of Isaiah is speaking of the New Testament. We can see where the New Testament is being brought up by different things. But the first part of Isaiah is chapter 1 through 39, and that's speaking of the Old Testament. So that's one reason I say that if I have to choose a book to, and if I had to go to jail or something like that, which I don't think I'm going to have to now, but you never know when Obama was in there. I didn't ever know. I mean, hey, he liable heard me preaching, and hey, he liable come in and take me on out. But that's all right. But if they would give me a choice of what book, says I can pick one book from the Bible, which book would I pick between all the other books in the Bible? Is the book of Isaiah. Because you have the Old Testament and you've got the New Testament there in the book of Isaiah. And I didn't realize that for a long time. And an elderly preacher, he preached on that thought. He preached on the Old Testament and then he preached on the New Testament. And he interwove the first 39 chapters and then the last few chapters there, which represents the New Testament. But here today, this morning, I want to read, it ain't about four or five verses, but I want to start with verse 1. It says verse 1 and 2 here, and then I'm going to jump over to verse 28. It says, and this is speaking of the prophet for the new message, which is the New Testament. It said, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Talking about the double, we see where in the book of Ruth it speaks about the double portions. The hands full on purpose. That right there is a message in itself. But here in verse 28, it says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the end of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings and as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, Father, we want to thank you for the reading of thy word this morning. And Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will just give me the liberty, Father, to preach what you've laid upon my heart. And Father, we pray, God, Lord, today, that you will just touch our hearts with your word. And Father, we just want to thank you and we want to love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Over here in the book of Corinthians, Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and I've quoted this before, but it says in the 9th chapter of the 1 Corinthians, it says, talking about the partakers, and it's talking about the altar and everything. It says in verse 12, it says, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. The gospel. We've read about it in the Old Testament. We've read about it right here. And we're seeing something right here in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 40. And it says in verse 31, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait. We as Christians, we can have comfort today in knowing that if we would just wait and allow the Lord to do his work and not us go on and intervene in it and us trying to do what we can do out of it, but what the Lord can do in it. But we must wait. We must wait until he speaks to us in the things that he wants us to do. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 13, it says, wait. Wait. What does it say? Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Wait at the altar. When we come to the altar, and you know, we can have the altar anywhere. We can have the steering wheel on our vehicles can be the altar. Our home in where we just sitting there just thinking, meditating. We can consider that is the altar. The altar does not have to be right here, but it's something special about the altar in God's house. It's something special about it. You know what's special about it? Then what that automobile I hear that I may be driving and I've got the steering wheel, like I said, that could be my altar. Yeah, it could be my altar, but let me tell you what's so special about the altar here in the church. I have never seen an altar that is built out of metal. I've never seen an altar that was built out of concrete. What is under the carpet, under the fabric here, under the robe of righteousness, and I think that's in the book of Isaiah chapter 16 in verse 1. It speaks of the garment of salvation and the robe of righteousness. And Sister Nancy was speaking about the cross and having that purple garment.
Now what that means, that purple that means, it means the righteousness of God. That he's not in the grave any longer. The altar right here. What is this altar made of? It's wood, right? Who grew the wood? The main one. He gives sunlight that would bring strength to that tree. And we can see how sturdy the trees are by the power of the Holy Spirit in the wind, because that's what the wind represents. It represents the Holy Ghost of God. We can see the effect of the wind, but we cannot see the wind itself. We can see the effect of the Holy Spirit, but we cannot see the Holy Spirit. But I sure am glad that I can feel the effect of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has took up an abode within me. He lives within my heart. He don't live in my mind. He lives in my heart where the Holy Spirit lives at. As far as our thought process and everything, it comes from our mind. But the things of God comes from the heart. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, it tells about where life starts at. Where does life start at for me and you? What is life in? The blood. The blood is what carries the life that we live each day. If we did not have the blood flowing through our bodies, if we didn't have the corrupt blood that flowed through our body, we couldn't walk, we couldn't talk, we couldn't work, we couldn't do anything. And if we didn't have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, applied to our body, and I believe this, I believe once you're saved, and only God can do this. Only God can do this. There's no doctor can do it. No surgeon. Nobody else that I know of can do it. But God. God gives us a transfusion as soon as we say yes to Him. As soon as we say yes to the Holy Spirit. As soon as we say yes to Jesus. We are transformed into something new. I don't have the corrupt blood within me anymore. I have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because see, that's where the life comes from. That's where our being comes from as Christians. That what we want to do, we want to satisfy the Lord Jesus. Don't you want to satisfy Him? Don't you want to do something that will honor Him? And just thanking Him for what He's done for us? I haven't done anything for you. You haven't done anything for me. But Christ has done everything for all of us. He does everything for us. Every day. Every single day. But we can have comfort in knowing that we can wait on Him. Because it's nothing that He does not promise in the Word of God that He will not fulfill. It may not be fulfilled the way we want them fulfilled. But the thing about it, he's looking at my life. And He's examining my soul. He's examining me. And He's saying,
what is best for Donnie? What is best for the preacher at Faith Baptist Church? Is it the best for him in Faith Baptist Church if I just start allowing people to come in 10 or 15 times? I allow people to come in, and they come down. They said they got saved. Then they come to church, and they'll come for 2 or 3 months. Then they go back out in the world. Is that going to make him stronger? No, that's going to make him weaker. It's going to make him weaker because he's going to say, it's something I've done. I've done something wrong. But he says, if you just trust me, wait on me, and allow me to do my work, then once I do my work, and if I happen to bring them in, and if they happen to come to me and ask me to save their soul, you ain't got to worry about them dropping out in 3 or 4 weeks or a month. You ain't got to worry about their salvation. Why? Because they're going to be telling everybody. You don't hear that much anymore where anybody is going out here telling people, well, I got saved today. You don't hear that much anymore. All righty. See you a little later. Bye-bye. We'll be praying for you this evening. All right. But no. I have the comfort of the Lord Jesus and the comfort of the Holy Spirit in knowing that he's given me an opportunity to where I can just wait. And I can just wait. If I go to him in prayer, I need to wait. I need to wait and be partakers of the waiting process. What the book of 1 Corinthians say, 9:13, says partakers. We must come to the altar. We must go to the Lord in prayer. And when we come to the altar, when we go to the Lord in prayer, we can wait. But a whole lot of times we don't do that. We'll come up and we'll kneel, or we'll come to the front, or we'll bow our head and we'll start praying and everything. And then as soon as we say amen, we think that what we got to do then, we just got to get up. And I'm just as guilty as anybody else that I've got to get up and just dismiss his service. I got to go home. But I shouldn't do that. Paul is telling me, and he's telling you, that for us to be renewed with his strength, renewed our hearts, renew our mind, renew everything about us as Christians, we must wait for him at the altar so we can be partakers of the altar. What am I saying, being partakers? We must wait until the Lord speaks to us, and he will speak. He will tell us. He says, just leave it in my hands. Leave it in my hands. But no, we don't want to be partakers. We don't want to just wait. Because we are not in the process of
of doing what we went to the Lord in prayer about. We are not doing anything. We're not able to do anything. That little finite mind that I have, and it's real small. It's smaller than a thimble. It's smaller than the head of a needle. It's so small that I can't even think upon nothing. That's the reason he said for me to wait. For me to give you the answer. And once I give you the answer, then you go and do what I say do. Like this week, I don't know what it is or what's happened or whatever. But last Sunday, I got that phone call. It was a phone call back here on the church's phone, and I went back and answered it. And when I answered it, on the other end of the phone, the lady said something to me. She says, I'm looking for a church, but I don't have no way to get there. Well, I told her, I said, well, I'll have to check and I'll have to see if maybe we can work some kind of arrangements out or whatever. Maybe we can come by and pick you up or whatever. But all week long, something was just gnawing at me about that. About she wants to come over here to where we can give her money, where she can tell us about this or that. This is what the Lord has told me, Stanley. Had nobody else told me that. But I just haven't felt easy about it. And I've called her. Matter of fact, I've called her 3 different times. And after the 3rd time, that is when it's just something said, something's not right. Yes. She probably needs to be saved. She just don't need to get in church. She needs to be saved. And after the 3 times I've called her, I asked her to give me a call back. And she never has. I give her my cell phone number. She never has called me back. And I've been praying about it. I really have. Because of where she told me she lived. It's in the same trailer that where the other year, I think it was year, might have been last year or year before last. We had the Jubilee. When a lady come in. Y'all remember her standing there and just standing up and she'd start talking, start walking around? That's the same trailer that this lady's living in. I don't know if it's the same lady or not. But we need to pray for her. And I'm not going by myself. I can't. I would not even go by myself and visit her or anybody else that I have never met before or do not know personally.
especially when it comes to church, especially when I'm going and inviting people to church and trying to lead them to the Lord. Because there are people I hear. Yes, they want to come,
but they don't tell you the main reason. I know of two other churches here in the city of Danville. One of them is in, right outside the city of Danville. Within the last 2 years, they've been carried to court. One of them said, I'm not going to court. We're not going to court. They said, well, if you don't want to go to court, that's fine. Then I'm going to sue you. They got to pay $5,000 out of the church. Because the church did not want to go to court. Did not want that publicized. And I can see their point. Because there's a church right there on 41 that happened to years ago. Years ago, the same thing happened. But it won't somebody that just come in. It was a pastor of the church. Locked the doors. Wouldn't let nobody in. They had to get the sheriff to come and to meet the people and the pastor at the church to where, when he unlocked the doors, that he had to turn the keys over or be arrested. Now, they went all through all of that. All through all of that. And for what? And for what did they get out of it? And going to court. I know it probably would have took everything they got. But we're not supposed to take people to court. We're not supposed to take other Christians to court. We're not supposed to take anyone to court. Why? Because we are the ones that's supposed to set the standards. But this church has done nothing. They have had nobody saved. They don't even have enough money to where they can even pay, take on one missionary. And they're supposed to be an independent Baptist church. They can't even take on one missionary. Because what money they do have come in, it takes every dime that they have at the end of the month to pay the light bill. They don't even have a telephone now. Only thing they got is a light bill. And they've had pastors to come in. They've had preachers to come in. The preachers don't stay. They don't stay because the church can't afford to even give them a love offering. I mean, why and how can somebody stand in the place that I stand right now and say that God called me to preach and God ordained me to preach and God ordained me to pastor, but then yet I can't come and do it because the church does not have enough money. The church don't even have a love offering. Hey, I'm not in it. I'm not in it for money. The Lord has took care of me. And the Lord said he's going to continue on taking care of me. He's going to continue on taking care of my family. And he's going to continue to take care of the church. Now, no more than what we got coming.
And I think very seriously we can think about this. We can think about having the comfort and knowing that if we'll just wait
on the Lord and for him to speak to us, but allow him to do his work, everything will be accomplished. I don't see how that we pay out as much as we pay out every month and we still have money left over. As far as I know, since I've been here, probably since way before I even come, the church has never had to go through a process of letting a bill overlap because they didn't have the money. The right arm? Why? Because you have waited. You have waited. You have prayed. And you have waited. And you have waited on the Lord to be partakers of what he's about to give us. Who is he about to give us? I have no idea. I do not know when it's going to happen. But he's going to give us something. Because he said so. Right? He said if we'll be faithful to him, he's going to be faithful to us. But first of all, we have got to do something for him. We've got to lift up his name. We've got to tell people about Jesus and not worry about it. That's the problem with us. That's the problem with me. When I go and I talk to an individual, when I invite somebody to come to church, and then they don't show up, it bothers me. It does. It bothers me. And when I will not let it go, the Lord's not going to answer until I let it go. He's not going to answer until I let it go. I said, Lord, now it's in your hands. You do what you have to do. Because I don't know what else to do. But you do. And I'm going to leave it in your hand. You do it. Whatever it takes, Lord, you do it. There are people out here today that's in church today around Danville. I don't think it's anybody here like that, what I'm about to say. But they ain't in church this morning, and they don't have no desire at all in being in God's house. They don't have no desire in being in God's house. The only thing that they there for is to show off maybe their new outfit that they got this past week. Or maybe show off their hairdo that they've just had, a perm or whatever they do to them. That's what they do. They are there to say, look at me. Look at this brand new dress I got on. And they, especially when somebody comes to you and says, you got a new dress. I ain't never seen that before. Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you one thing. I've been looking for that dress. I've been watching that dress until that dress come on sale. I'm going to keep on and keep on, keep on talking about the dress. But yet, then they leave church. And you don't hear anything at all about when they're out eating lunch or something like that, that they'll even bow their head and say grace over the lunch. They won't come and say, well, you know, we had a great message today. The Lord has blessed me so much. He spoke to me today. There are people in church today that is like that. They won't talk about the Lord at all until they get back to church next Sunday. But when they get back to church next Sunday, then they got to have another brand new dress on. Or a new hairdo. Or a new suit. Where somebody can brag about them and the way they look. You know how I look? I mean, you know. Boy, looking at me, I mean, I got nice clothes on. I mean, you know, look pretty good. But how do I look to the Lord? You know how I look? He looked to me as filthy, dirty, rotten rags. That's the way he looks at me, because I'm not worthy of anything that I have. I'm not worthy of this coat that I got on. I'm not worthy of the clothes that I even got on. But I thank him for it. I thank him for it. We need to thank the Lord more and more every day in what he does for us. He does so much for us. And I want to challenge you. For the rest of March, because this is just the 5th of March. But I want to challenge each and every one of you for the month of March. Then the 1st of April, the first Sunday that we have in April. If you don't mind, we'll take that night. And I'll ask you, do you have any? What the challenge is for the next month. And don't put down the same thing each day and everything. Put down a new one. And if you've got four or five that you can put in a day, put four or five. But make sure they're not, you know, that you consistently put them down so you have so many. But I challenge you to write down the promises. The promises and the blessings that he's blessed you with each and every day through the month of March. That's just through the month of March. I could probably just do a week. But I'm spreading it out to a month. Month of March. I don't even know where to start at with mine. May be the same way, you don't know where to start at. But you know where the best place I think that we can start at? The number one thing. He saw my need of a Savior. He saw my need somebody redeeming my soul and pardoning me. And I'm just not going to challenge just you. I'm going to do it too. And we're going to see how many that we have of each other did the same thing or whatever. And I hope and pray that each one of us have something different. Would you be willing to do that? Just take a month and just thanking the Lord for His blessings. Just thank Him. We need to thank Him more and more every day. It's nothing I know of right now under the sun that I need from my Lord, that He has not already given me, that He has not already spoke to me about it. Now I've got to be submissive unto that, unto Him. To do what He's given me to do. And allow me the strength to do it. That's going to be the theme of our Jubilee this year. And our theme is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13, the latter part of it. We must wait at the altar and to be partakers of the altar so we can receive His okay. We can receive His blessings that we can go out. We can do something else by still worrying about what we can't change. We can't change a thing. The only thing that we can change is what's before us right now. And we can have comfort in knowing that. We can have comfort in knowing that we have it right before us to where we can change. Where I can change. And I'm not speaking of changing God's word. I'm not speaking of asking a little something else different from God's word the way I read it. What I'm asking the Lord to change. Change my being. And changing my outlook toward what He really wants me to do. And I need to wait at the altar. Where I can be partakers of the altar. Where I can be partakers of His blessings. Everyone stand. Head bowed and eyes closed. Our Father, we want to thank You. Lord Jesus, for this day. And Father, we want to thank You, Lord, for the comfort that we can grasp, Father, from Your word. And Lord, we pray today, as the message came forth, that we can have comfort in knowing that yes, that we can be partakers of what we've come to You with at the altar. That we need to wait on Thee. To so, Father, that You can speak to our hearts. And Lord Jesus, we pray this morning
If there's anyone here this morning has anything on their heart, anything at all, Lord, I pray that, Father, they just step out by faith and they'll just step out and come to you and trust you today to be partakers, to where they can be the partakers of the altar that you have provided for us to be able to lean upon. And Father, once again, we want to thank you for thy message. We want to thank you for your precious word. And Lord, all that's been said or done today, we pray that it will bring honor and glory to your precious name, because you're worthy of all of our praise. Amen and amen.